Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 12, expansions of Advaita Acharya and Gadadhar Pandit. And so the verses here are from 20 to 27, and on 27 there's a purport. So that's why these verses are being spoken in this order, because it's just going from now to the first purport and finishing off where previously there was a purport. But it kind of starts, 21 starts on the second the third verse of a story. You know, so it's like the story begins, and then just quickly within the story, then we're starting there today. So I'll read all the verses, including the few before, which cover the little narrative that's here, which is very sweet. But however, let's get on with the formal business and chant today's the verse, which is the concluding verse. It's not the concluding verse of the little story. It's the verse kind of after. It's the verse after the concluding verse of the story. So anyway, today's verse, 27, translation. The other sons of Advaita Acharya were Sri Balaram, Swarup, and Jagadish. Can I come back to the purport? Because the purport goes into the subject matter of these names and these sons so technically that the verses that cover the simple story that just happened, it will just take us solidly into a very... it'll take us in a direction if we read the purport. So maybe I'll just read the other verses in the story and then say a little about that and then come into this purport. So this is expansions of Advaita Acharya and Gadadhar Pandit. So in these beginning chapters of Adi Lila, isn't it? One, you say, oh, read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's so beautiful, stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then you pick it up and you find, well, you have that much. Like, what volume is this? This is volume 2. And everything that came before that. And it's all very, very, what would you say, esoteric. Really, it's very philosophical, it's very deep, it's all about different people and what they represent and what they came to represent and how they're all interlinked and how they all relate to divinity and how they are divinity and then how divinity manifests. And then it goes on to establishing this huge tree of people all related to this one person, Chaitanya. Just all what, you know, this was, Chaitanya Charitamrita was, I think, completed about 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had departed. So Kaviraj Goswami, he was empowered to write this great literature. And every day he'd sit and listen to Raghunath Das Goswami on the banks of Radhakund, because Raghunath Das came from being with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And based on the diaries of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai and everything that all the Goswamis told and explained to him, he compiled this beautiful text about Chaitanya, the most authoritative text in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. And so, he, in that short time, you know, this went in every direction. In every direction. One Islamic scholar writes, an academic writes, Chaitanya saved Bengal for the Hindus. It's just another angle on the whole thing. Just because his movement was so rigorous. Whereas the rest of India and everywhere else was being overtaken by another religious movement. And this, here was this free-flowing devotional kind of All You Need Is Love movement of the medieval period of Bengal. And I'll explain a little about that after. So he's explained this tremendous network of people. And some people really did represent the cause. And others got it a bit confused with other things. And others just completely misrepresented it. But they all had some form of relation to it, even if it was opposition, even if it was a compromise relationship. And so in setting this out right from during this medieval period, then Kaviraj Goswami is listing all these names and all these people. So, amidst all the names and all the people, when it comes to describing Advaitacharya, then he speaks about Advaitacharya's sons. And the little story is as follows. Maybe I won't read the Bengali. I'll just read the English. Is that okay? Sri Gopal was another son of Advaitacharya Prabhu. Now just hear about his characteristics, for they are very wonderful. This is a good story. You'll like this one. When Lord Chaitanya personally cleansed the Gundicha Mandir in Jagannath Puri, Gopal danced in front of the Lord with great love and happiness. So this little boy was just dancing with so much happiness, so much love in his heart. He was just overwhelmed by the whole environment of Kirtan. Kirtan with Lord Chaitanya's associates, as they were all cleaning that temple, they were just mad with it, the spirit of it, the joy in their hearts, and the expression of that joy and love, as they just felt complete freedom in singing and glorifying Krishna, just was so overwhelming. This young boy was just dancing madly. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita chanted the Hare Krishna mantra and danced, there were various ecstatic symptoms in their bodies, and their minds were very pleased. So as they were, it was recognizable, these mentions here, bhava udgama, nana bhava udgama, deha, adbhuta. With this adbhuta, incredible dancing that was going on, you could see tangible symptoms of ecstasy and love all over their bodies. Just by seeing them, you could see how much they loved Krishna. They had tears flowing from their eyes. Their hair was just standing on end. They had goosebumps all over their bodies. And so, and their hearts and minds were completely, it says, pleased. Anandita. Anand means, it's the ultimate expression for happiness or ecstasy. Ananda, they were anand, completely ecstatic. While all of them danced, Gopal, dancing and dancing, fainted and fell to the ground unconscious. So the boy, Gopal, just collapsed. Advaitacharya Prabhu became very unhappy. Taking his son in his lap, he began to chant the Nrisimha mantras for his protection. So his son had passed out on the floor. His father just became deranged and began to chant all protective mantras to save his son amidst this big ecstatic kirtan. Advaitacharya chanted various mantras, but Gopal did not come to consciousness. Thus all the Vaishnavas present cried in sorrow at his plight. He saw his son die in the middle of the kirtan. And everybody seeing this just began to cry, overwhelmed with sorrow. At that moment, Tabi Mahaprabhu Tanri Rida Hasta Dari Utaha Gopal Kaila Bolo Hari Hari. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then put his hand on the chest of Gopal and told him, "My dear Gopal, get up and chant the holy name of the Lord." When he heard this sound and felt the touch of the Lord, Gopal immediately got up. And all the Vaishnavas chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in jubilation. So, what an incredible kirtan. And then Gopal was such a great devotee at such a young age. It just became so overwhelming that he fell down. It says, lost his consciousness, unconscious. No consciousness, no samvita. It doesn't say actually died here, but as if. And then at the shock, everyone was just all so tearful. And then the next minute, Mahaprabhu just brings him back to life and he just gets up chanting Hare Krishna again. So this was his son, Gopal. Somebody who actually did die in a kirtan. I mean, lots of devotees die in kirtans, isn't it? No matter where they end, if they're in a hospital, wherever they are. There's all this little group comes around and starts the whole kirtan, and the whole hospital starts to get like so worried, what's going on? And once I went to a hospital, this young lady was in a coma. She's in a coma for weeks. And the family, they were my neighbors, and they came and asked me if there was any mantra or something. I said, yeah, sure, there's so many mantras. Now, I went to the hospital in Northampton, and there was this young lady in a whole soul body, all swollen up in a complete coma. And, I mean, when you live in a temple most of your life and in the community all your life, you don't know the rules of intensive ICU unit. So I was like lighting lamps in there, and they're like, no, this is it. I can't do this. And then I just took out Nisring oil and started to massage it on that lady's, young lady's, the bottom of her legs, her hands. And then I was just singing the Nisring Kavacha there in the ICU unit. And lo and behold, she opened her eyes. And then she completely recovered. I mean, I always thought it was just a coincidence, but it's an incredible story of, you know, I mean, it was just a remarkable moment. Then I went to see her. I think her name was Pinky. I can't even remember. She's absolutely fine. Getting on with material life again, properly. But it was a remarkable moment. It's like devotees, isn't it? Usually, that was just one devotee, you know, aspiring devotee. And it was creating such a chaos in the ICU unit. Yeah, this week's Hari Vamsa, great sevak of the temple, he died, or this week on Wednesday, I think, 5 years ago. He was passing away. It was like, the place was mobbed in the hospital around him. Absolutely mobbed. Everybody was singing, chanting, Prabhupada chanting, and things bleeping in the background. And that was around this time, another person died in the kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur's son. His son died in the middle of a kirtan. They were chanting and dancing in Srivas Thakur's house for hours and hours and hours. And right, and Srivas Thakur was thinking, what's disrupting the atmosphere? I'm just not, you know how you're in the kirtan here, isn't it? The kirtan mela, you're sitting there. After 10 minutes, you're thinking, come on, you can do it. After half an hour, your back's gone, your hips are gone. You're thinking, just make it look like you're going strong here. And then at a certain point, you break through, isn't it? They say you break through, you know. You break through, Prabhu, and you're there. You're in the zone, the kirtan zone. So, anyway, this, so many things come in your mind. That's what I was making when you're in the kirtan, isn't it? You're going great for a bit, and then something comes in your head, and it just starts to get stuck there. Srivas Thakur was thinking, well, something's happening. There's something that's disturbing the kirtan. There's something disturbing things in here. So he left the kirtan. He went into the next room, and all the women of the house were all crying their eyes out. And he said, what happened? They said, your son died. And he said, Okay, but don't disturb the kirtan. He's Suno Pugali Gana. That's what he shouted to them all. You crazy ladies. He said it. Not me. You crazy ladies. Suno Pugali Gana. Don't disturb the kirtan. He said, your son's dead. He said, people are dying every minute, every day, every second. This is the land of death. This is the planet of death where all die. He said, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing and the Supreme Lord himself is dancing in ecstatic kirtan in your courtyard. And they went like, okay, maybe. And he went back in. This is how mad he was in devotion. They were not on an earthly platform. He went back into the kirtan and just danced his heart out. And then after a while, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just said, Srivas, has something happened in your house? He said, yes, well, my son died. He said, what? Your son died? Hare Krishna. He immediately went to where the son was. He took him in his arms. Mahaprabhu cried. He was tearful. Srivas was in another plane. But God was crying for his son. He was crying and he held the boy. And then everybody was there. And then he turned to the boy. Mahaprabhu turned to the boy and said, so, where are you? Why have you gone? And the boy began to speak. He began to explain that I'm just on this internal journey. It's going on forever. And the greatest fortune that ever happened to me was that during your kirtan, I left this body. I left the body. And I'm journeying on to the feet of Krishna. And, you know, and so why I'm being called back here? And they all became completely self-realized. In that moment of complete stillness, you know when those moments happen when time stops, everything just doesn't move anymore? I guess contemporary authors would call that being in the now. You're just really in your eternality. And then the boy took permission and he left. And Mahaprabhu picked up the boy's body and carried him to the Ganges and then placed him in the Ganges. I think that was, the Ganges came and received him. Wow. Isn't it? Who was it? Kulashekar. He prayed that, you know, let me die now while I'm completely immersed and my mind's immersed in the glories and kirtan of Lord Krishna. Not when I'm old and I can't breathe, I'm all cough and I'm all troubled and I'm all, you know, take me now. You probably felt like that sometimes yourself in your spiritual life, isn't it? You know, just when you're feeling quite a high devotional exhilaration and the prospects of life are just forever daunting and you just think, take me now. I mean, why let this go on any further? Anyway, that was Srivas Thakur's son and that was Gopal. But not all the sons were like Gopal. 7 minutes. So I'm going to read the purport because not all the sons were like Gopal. There's a really important lesson in all of this. Many lessons are here. Are you ready? Because I know it's easier to read than to listen. So he's speaking about the other son, Balaram Swarup and Jagdish. The Sanskrit book Advaita Charita states that Balaram Swarup and Jagadish were the fourth, fifth, and sixth sons of Advaitacharya. Okay, so there were six altogether. Here's the fourth, fifth, and sixth. Therefore, Sri Advaitacharya had six sons. Balaram Swarup Jagadish being smartas, we'll come back to that, or Mayavadis, were rejected by Vaishnav society. Sometimes Mayavadis pose themselves as Vaishnavas or worshippers of Lord Vishnu, but actually they do not believe in Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For they consider demigods like Lord Shiva, Durga, the sun god Ganesh equal to him. They are generally known as Panchopashika Smartas, and one cannot count them along among the Vaishnavas. Balaram had three wives and nine sons. The youngest son of his first... Yeah, it's a daunting prospect, isn't it? One is a daunting prospect, young man. The purification is too much. The youngest son of his first wife was known as Madhusudan Goswami. He took the title Bhattacharya and accepted the path of the Smarta or Mayavad philosophy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur notes that the son of Goswami Bhattacharya, Sri Radharaman Goswami Bhattacharya, refused the title Goswami because it is generally meant for sannyasis, those who have taken the renounced order of life. One who is still in the family life should not misuse the title Goswami. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not recognize the caste Goswamis because they were not in the line of the six Goswamis in the renounced order, who were the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Srila Bhatta Raghunath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the Grihastha Ashram, or the status of family life, is a sort of concession for sense gratification. Therefore, a Grihastha should not falsely adopt the title Goswami. The ISKCON movement has never conferred the title Goswami upon a householder. Although all the sannyasis we have initiated in ISKCON are young, we have awarded them the title of the renounced order of life, Swami and Goswami, because they have completely dedicated their lives to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that not only do the householder caste Goswamis disrespect the title Goswami, but also, following the principles of the Smarta, Raghunandan, they exhibit great foolishness by burning a straw image of Advaitacharya in a Shraddha Vilas, in a Shraddha ceremony, thus acting like Rakshasas and disrespecting the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the guide for Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that sometimes these smarter caste Goswamis write books on philosophy or commentaries on the original scriptures, but a pure devotee should cautiously avoid reading them. It's quite a power-packed purport there, really. And just, you know, three devotees, then three others, and they didn't represent the cause. They didn't represent the cause at all. If you think of the cause amidst the climate, I'm going to try to do this very quickly. You imagine West Bengal in the medieval period, 15th century. I think around the 12th, was it 13th century? That's when the Turkish took over. And all the Vishnu kings and all these people, they were finished. So Turkish came in, they were all Islamic, they were all Muslim. They took over the whole, they began to run the place. And then very quickly, the previous king, who was also a Brahmin, he then converted his son to a Muslim, and then he became the king, strategically. So still there was a level of, you know, that was involved in the whole thing. But then as this went on, there was a point where this Abyssinian slave warriors took over. I think it was for like a 4-year period. 4 or 5 years. This was at the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his early life. These Abyssinian slave warriors, Abyssinia is Ethiopia, a part of a kingdom of Ethiopia. These Abyssinian slave warriors worked with the Islamic rulers as their main people, their main men. They were entrenched there with the ruler. But then they killed the ruler. One of them killed the ruler. He became the king of Bengal. And then with a short period of time, another one killed him and he became the king. Another one killed him, he became the king. And then finally, I think that after the fourth one, the Alad Hussein Shah killed him and became the king. And he was a moderate. He was more inclusive. He sponsored so many Vaishnav literatures. That came later on in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He respected Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God. Isn't it Kaviraj Goswami said, Ishwara, Shakshad Ishwar, he's God. Don't bother him, don't harm him. So in that volatile period, right, that just the public, the people, they're all tribals. They were living in a situation where you had this Muslim rulers persecuting them. And on the other side, and in opposition, you had the orthodox Brahmin caste persecuting them. You know, it was like with their social stratification of people. Anyone, it was like Brahmins and Sudras. That was literally West Bengal. There was nothing much in between. Because they decided, you know, in, what would you say, establishing themselves in opposition to Islamic rule. They were the Hindu rule. They established them more and more and more, themselves more and more by their very, very stringent social stratification. Anyone who came in contact with a Muslim, they considered Malecha Dosh, you're less than a Sudra. People couldn't even earn their livelihood anymore. So just the public, the people were strung between this massive polarity. And what was going on at the time? Well, that was going on, and then the general things were the remnants of Buddhism, Tantraism, Nathism, the Dharma sect, and it's all and the worshippers of snake gods, Chandi, Manasi. And in the middle of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just, the cause was, all you need is love. Really? Prem? Forget Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. All you need is love. That was literally the program. Prema Pumata Mahan. Love is beyond everything. Love is more. It doesn't matter you're a Sudra. Doesn't matter you're a Brahmin. Doesn't matter you're a Muslim. Doesn't matter anything. We have to love Krishna and we have to love each other. Let's get beyond this. That was what happened in the medieval period. It was devotional determination. The whole social stratification was reordered based on love. Isn't it? Yeah, that's fine. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, whatever else. But more than everything is a bhakta, because a bhakta has love. If you have love, you're more than all these things. He reordered the whole thing. He put love on the top. Love ascended the throne of everyone's lives. And it spread like wildfire. Now, largely through Advaita Acharya, Achandali Den Krishna Nama Diodan. He said specifically to Advaita Acharya, the father of these sons, you go around Goradesh, all of Bengal, and specifically give the holy name to the Achandala, the Chandalas. Achandala Diodan. Give it to them. Forget this. They're all fine. Give it to all the people that would never have been considered worthy of any religious practice in their life. That was the cause. These three sons, Balaram, Sarup, Jagadish, they became the orthodox. They became smarter. I'll finish on this point. Smarta comes from smara. Smara, in our, we know, isn't it? What is it? Remembering. Smara. Smriti. Smarta. the Smriti is what's remembered, or tradition. A smarta is someone who follows Smriti. Smriti means the law. The Smriti Shastra. Generally we know Smriti is a whole big, everything after the Vedas, isn't it? Shruti and Smriti. The Vedas are Shruti, that's it, it's fixed, it's a closed canon. Smriti was developed, spoken, redeveloped, developed, like that. But specifically in this case, when we talk about smarta, like the Dharma Shastra, the Dharma Sutras and the Dharma Smritis, like the Manu Samhita, all the Smriti literatures were all about, you know, how you brush your teeth, how you take a bath, what you do if you've done sin, what sin is, you know, and how you should. This is, these people, what they said to a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to them with the problem that he had been forced conversion to become a Muslim at that time. By a forced conversion. He went to these smartas and said, he was crying, he said, what should I do? And what did they say to him? Drink boiling hot ghee. Which basically means khatam ho gaya. It's finished. That was, you know, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say to him when he met him in Varanasi? Prabhu kahe, ian hoiti jao Brindavan, nirantara karo Krishna naam sankirtan. My friend, just go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan, nirantara karo Krishna naam, and just keep chanting the name of Krishna. It's all fine. It's all okay. Wow. This, you kill yourself when it's finished. That's how you deal with it. They follow the laws. They follow the laws they created from themselves, their past generations. Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya actually brought all this stuff to Navadvip. Nadia was a massive school of learning. Four big schools in India. Nadia was massive. Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya brought this Navya Nyaya to Nadia. And from him then came another one, Raghunath. And from him came somebody, Raghunandan, who became, what's it called? Smarta Bhattacharya. He was the all-conquering Smarta. People were being hung by the laws of Hinduism of that time. And so, when Prabhupada's saying here, Smarta, 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 Mayavad, well, generally, you know, Smarta meant they were phenomenal logicians. They were scholars of grammar. They could talk about existential matters with profound levels of intellect. That was their whole lives. Everything was, the whole problem's ignorance. But by becoming intellectually sophisticated in knowing, that solved all problems. That was moksha, liberation. That's what they considered. Now, but it's all mixed up with all other kinds of stuff. So all these Panchopashakas, they're worshipping these five prominent gods, but their ultimate aim is to be God, really, themselves. So Prabhupada's kind of, you know, speaking quite assertively here, and he can do that. The smartas, Mayavadis, they abandoned the cause, went in another direction, and they adopted this title, Goswami. What does Goswami mean? Goswami means you have a lot of cows. Literally. Somebody who was had a big goshala was called a Goswami. It's Pradeep here. Pradeep's a Goswami. JK. Goswami, he's the lord of so many cows, isn't it? Sometimes in the old culture, the women used to call their husbands. What? I know it's difficult to say. I know you're choking. When I hear the word, my throat chokes up and I feel to spit. They used to call their husband Swami. Isn't it? What's his name got on the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Vallabha Bhatta or Vallabhacharya. He said, you're worshipping Krishna in the mood of a gopi? In the mood of a wife? How could you ever say the name of the husband? Surely you should just be saying Swami. You try this argument on your wife. Surely you should just be saying the name Swami. He said, more important than what you should call the husband is following the husband's orders. And the order says, the husband says, chant my holy name. So therefore, it's a higher principle. I'll leave that to the other side of that. You can debate that amongst yourselves. It's not the old world anymore, let me assure you. So, Swami is Lord. Go is cow. Lord of cows. Krishna is Goswami. Yes, but also, it meant the senses. Flesh. The flesh. Lord of the flesh. Lord of the senses is Goswami. So controlling all the senses is Goswami. It's not a hereditary title. It's like in Britain we have Lord such and such. Oh, how were you appointed a Lord? This is, my father was one. His father was one. Oh, you're the queen. How come you became the queen? Well, because my mother was the queen. Hereditary titles. Hereditary positions. They still exist in Britain. Yes, they do. So, Goswami is not a hereditary title. It's an awarded title. Like today, some people become Bhakti Shastri. Such and such Bhakti Shastri. You become such and such Brahmachari. Such and such Vanaprastha. Such and such, we Grihasthas, we used to always put something. Adhikari. Didn't know what it meant anyway, so. Adhikari. What's your name? Goridas. Adhikari. And so, and become very concerned about these things. One time I was sitting in the office here and my secretary at the time picked up the phone. And someone asked on the phone, can I speak to Goridas Adhikari? She said, who? He said, can I speak to Goridas, Puja Goridas Adhikari? She said, who? I don't. And then I had to say, oh, Gori! These are modern conventions. Oh, Gori, right. Him. So, these smartas, this was their life. Their whole thing was they were all concerned for the laws, all concerned for the rules, all concerned for the maryad. And it's a very thing, you have to determine these things. I mean, if somebody comes to your temple blind with a disabled dog, will you let the dog in the temple? It's a massive issue right now in Britain. A temple said no to the blind person's dog. It's all over the media, isn't it? What will we do? They said, what will you do at the Hare Krishna temple? In the moment I said, maybe we put little shoes on it, little socks on the feet. And then they said, but what if the dogs, it may slip? I said, I don't know. I don't know. It probably just all happened here, and when it was over, people would say, there was a dog in the temple. Call Sruti Prabhu. Prabhu, what should we do? There was a dog in the temple. I don't know. There's too many things to be dealing with. Anyway, this was the other three sons of Advaitacharya, Prabhu. The first three were very fine. They were all for the cause. And Gopal, he was so much for the cause, he lost his consciousness. And Mahaprabhu revived him. So don't worry. If you're so much for the cause, don't be afraid of losing your consciousness, because Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada, and all the devotees will revive you every time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.